leads me to our guest of the day, my good friend Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. As I mentioned in before the break, Brad has been really one of the key people who has been really just holding everybody's feet to the fire on the election irregularities, basically all the little attempts to steal the election. Not just steal the election, but I mean just things that went wrong, all the voting machine stuff, just everything going wrong in the 2004 election last November. And Brad has really been tenacious about not letting go and you know, not just beating a dead horse, but actually uncovering a lot of stuff. And as I mentioned, I think there's even a dead body in the mix and, you know, all sorts of fun scandal and intrigue. So we're glad to welcome Brad and get into all of this. Brad, you there?
Hey, John, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Well,
Are you sure there weren't attempting to steal the election?
Well, that's what I was going to get into with you. I was going to make a joke first and say it's not my voicemail. Brad and I have been like trying to connect for 2 months now, and he keeps calling me, and I've been so busy, and I keep not answering, and it's, you know, so.
The only way we can talk is on the radio.
Exactly. Hi, this is John. I can't take your call. Well, so, Brad, there's just so, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. There's like so much that I just get blown away when I even try to get into this issue about all the stuff you guys have uncovered. Maybe tell people first, who the hell are you, and how did you even vaguely start getting into trying to figure, you know, watching all this election fraud stuff?
Well, you know, I am the blogger at the editor and writer at bradblog.com, and I find myself reporting on this stuff because in the early morning hours of November 3rd, and I think I even sent you some email at that time saying,
right,
hey guys, something is not adding up here. I don't know what it is, but, you know, let's keep an eye on this. And in fact, more and more incidents of election irregularities were coming in one after another after another.
Right.
And true to my concerns, the mainstream media out there, go figure, they weren't reporting any of it. And,
right.
You know, I was sticking to not theories, not speculation, but actual
right.
hard evidence. It was coming back from boards of election and you know, documented proof that, you know, 4,000 votes suddenly were showing up for George Bush in this precinct where there was only 630 voters that day.
And, I remember that one, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
And Bush got 4,000 of them. Go figure.
Right.
You know, but so incidents like that that were confirmed by boards of election. And so, man, it was just a rabbit hole that I got deeper and deeper in. And, you know, I was getting hundreds of tips and so forth. And, you know, most of them didn't pan out. But a lot of them did, and then of course there was the Clint Curtis allegations that I'm
well. Let me step back a second, only because again, now we're getting into so much stuff that I don't understand. I mean, start with what do we know right now? I mean, what over the last 5 months, what have you uncovered in a nutshell? And as far as what level of deceit, fraud, whatever, and maybe we can talk about some of the specific stuff like this Clint Curtis thing that I think we all keep reading about on the blogs, but we still understand what it is.
Okay. Well, you know, what I have tried my best to do is stay away from coming to any conclusions about any of this, but rather just reporting the incidents as they've shown up.
You
know, mentioned the 4,000 votes that suddenly appeared for Bush
right.
out of nowhere. We've had, you know, other reports, folks who have given affidavits that they've, you know, hundreds of them in Ohio in particular, who attempted on touchscreen voting machines to vote for John Kerry, and it would come back and it would say, all right, then you want to vote for George Bush. And they'd
right.
say, no, I want John Kerry. Okay, very good. George
right.
Bush. You know, so incidents like that, we had
Coke, Pepsi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We had an incident.
no Kerry, Bush. Anyway, yeah.
Exactly. We had an incident right. in Warren County where they locked down on election night. They locked down the entire, I guess, the city hall there where they were counting the votes. They
right.
wouldn't let any press in to.
I remember that. Was this to count them or whatever, or what was the? This was counting the votes, or what was it?
They were counting the votes,
right.
And usually that is an activity that's observed by members of the press, and they can, you know, and
as we well know, when that little Republican vigilante group banged on the door in Florida 4 years ago.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and there had been, as you know, press folks inside that room, and then they were able to conveniently photograph that, what they call it, the Brooks Brothers riot down there in Florida.
Right.
And it was all GOP operatives, and it was a completely fake
sounds like
riot.
A sale at Brooks Brothers in P-Town or something,
yeah.
The Brooks Brothers riot, but anyway, go on.
In any case,
I can make the gay jokes, you can't, just so you know.
Are you sure I can't?
Well, I told them that you're kind of gay.
Okay, good.
I mean, culturally. you're kind of. Well, I mean, I haven't met you, but you come off as kind of gay in a good way. So yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Have you caught my military escort websites yet?
No, no. But you've mentioned the girlfriend a few times, which I found a little, you know, a little heterosexist, but it's okay.
Go on. You fell for that?
Exactly. Exactly. The old girlfriend line.
Yeah, you'll believe anything. Melman. Now you've confused me. Oh, yeah, Warren County. They locked down the place.
Yeah.
They told the press that it was FBI Homeland Security had warned them that they were a terrorist target that night on Election Day. And that on a scale of scale of 1 to 10, their particular county there was a 10.
Ah,
which, you know, very frightening. So no wonder
they had like a security kitty kingdom there or something, or a Tasty Freeze.
The problem was after they had said there were 10
terrorists hate frozen ice cream.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they hate us for our ice cream. But yeah, anyway,
it turns out that the members of the media, the few people who were checking into this, contacted FBI Homeland Security. Nobody knows nothing about any kind of terrorist lockdown in Warren County. They were never told any such thing, and the people who claim they were won't tell us exactly who it was that they spoke to at the FBI.
So, well, all right, tell me about this. I mean, only because, again, it's like there's so much. I'm seeing a lot of, like, trees. What's the forest? I mean, what overall have – I mean, we all knew, I guess, certainly within the first couple of weeks – I know, because, you know, the last time you and I really talked about it in depth was those first couple of weeks after the election, when we were seeing all of these polling machines screwing up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They lost like 70,000 votes in some county in Florida or whatever the hell it was. Or, I mean, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
was it Ohio?
Started counting backwards. There was an actually negative 32,000 something votes were recorded for John Kerry in Broward County, I think it was.
But, I mean, but since then, because we really haven't talked in depth about this, I mean, what's been the gravity, or, I mean, how much stuff have you uncovered, or has been uncovered by all of you going after this?
Well, you know, there was a historic challenge of the Ohio electors on January 6th, the first time in 135 years that this arcane constitutional provision was invoked and used to challenge an entire slate of electors from Ohio.
Right.
This came about because John Conyers, over at the ranking minority member of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, put together a report compiling all of these things that were coming out just on Ohio.
Right.
They ended up with a 102-page report of evidence of documented irregularity after another. And then even in this recount, the supposed recount that happened, that was brought about not by Kerry but by David Cobb of the Green Party and Michael Bednarik, the presidential candidate of Libertarians, they asked for a recount, and Ken Blackwell, the Secretary of State in Ohio, put the
Republican
thing off,
right?
Not just a Republican, but actually the co-chair of the Bush-Cheney reelect committee
in Ohio.
So a very well-connected Republican. While that recount was going on, which Blackwell put off for weeks and weeks until it was essentially too late to matter, because the vote was already certified before they even began the recount, while the recount was going on, he was sending out fundraising letters.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
That?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was doing like on his letterhead saying he was Secretary of State and sending out all these Bush fundraising, for his own campaign.
Well, for his own. He decided that he wants to be governor of Ohio. So
right.
He was sending out letters saying that I delivered the state of Ohio and kept it from going to an unapologetic liberal by the name of John Kerry.
Right.
And that, mind you, he's supposed to be the fair and impartial judge of the election.
Well, it's Catherine Harris all over again. I mean, I don't even know why. Have you guys looked into why is it even legal for them to have the Secretary of State be in charge of the election and to be running the campaign for one party? I mean, because Florida, they did the same thing with Catherine Harris.
Exactly.
There's no law against this?
There is no law against it. And that's one of the things that we're trying to get done with some of these election reform actions, get these secretaries of state who are clearly partisan, you know, out of the business of running the elections. Because, you know, in the bottom line, you decide what you want. Read the hundreds and hundreds of pages of evidence and thousands of reports of irregularities.
Right.
And you can look at all that documented evidence. And if you want, you can say, oh, geez, there's nothing wrong here. Everything is just fine. Okay. But I think the problem is you know, even if you want to say that they did not steal the election,
right.
you know, you can't deny the fact that there's a confidence crisis in right. our election system.
Right.
Let
me just remind folks who you are. This is we're talking to Brad Friedman, who writes bradblog.com. Brad has been really at the forefront of not just bloggers, but, I mean, people in general who have been tracking all the election irregularities. We keep saying irregularities. I feel like we're talking about Metamucil. Basically, all the election fraud that took place last November. And Brad has really been dogging. Anthony's laughing at him. Anthony likes when we make scatological jokes. I remember that from last time. No, I'm kidding.
No, just like fiber jokes.
Fiber, yeah, exactly, right. Old, just when we make fun of old people. It's the Social Security thing. But no, but Brad has really been at the forefront of keeping an eye on all the, of just everything that went wrong with the election and really sort of holding people's feet to the fire as we find out more and more information that just gets more and more troubling.
Somebody's got to.
Well, somebody's got to. And just to remind folks, this is John Aravosis. I am not Michelangelo Signorelli today. Mike is on vacation this week. I'm going to be sitting in for him today through Friday. Although we are still serious out queue, we are still 149 on your serious dial. But getting back to Brad and all the election stuff, what is this? You know, we got a couple minutes before the break. I want to start getting into it. This Clint Curtis or whatever his name is, what is that whole issue?
Oh, man.
But again, assume they're dumb and I'm dumb, or I'm dumber.
Okay.
What is
well,
this?
Well, I'll try to make it as simple as I can.
Okay.
Clint Curtis is a software programmer.
Just pretend I'm the president.
What's that?
Pretend I'm the president. I want monosyllables and a paragraph.
Speak to you and like a three-year-old.
And a candy bar. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. President, your very good friend Tom Feeney attempted to rig the vote in 2000.
Who is Tom Feeney?
Tom Feeney was, at the time, the Speaker of the House of Florida. He was the sort of most famous at the time back in 2000. He was the Speaker who came out and said, we don't care what the Supreme Court decides about how to count these votes. We're going to give the electoral votes to George Bush no matter what.
There you go. Okay.
He also happens to have been Jeb Bush's running mate for governor in 1994 for governor of Florida when Jeb ran and lost the first time.
Right. Okay.
He's well connected, Mr. President, to your friends, your brother, and so forth. So he was very well connected. What he did, so Clint Curtis claims, Curtis is a software programmer down in Florida, claims that he was working at a company named Yang Enterprises. Feeney, at the time, was Yang's corporate counsel, their registered lobbyist, and oh yes, he was also the Speaker of the House of Florida at the same time.
Right, and as far as we know, not a practicing $200 an hour male prostitute named Bulldog.
No, not yet. But
other than that, he's been everything.
We could find some naked pictures of him on the web, then maybe that we could get some attention to this stunning story.
Right.
So you guys need to keep looking.
So there's this incredible conflict of interest going on. This guy is, and this company is doing what? That this Speaker of the House, who we know is tied with the Bushies, this company does what that he's working for?
This company is a top secret security clearance company. They've got contracts with NASA.
Right.
And the Florida Department of Transportation and other sensitive contracts like that.
Right.
That Feeney, of course, had no hand in helping them get.
Right.
Nonetheless, he was their lobbyist. So he comes to a meeting with Clint Curtis at Yang. Present is Mrs. Yang, the CEO, and her executive secretary, Mike Cohen. And Curtis claims that he asked, Curtis, mind you, was a lifelong Republican up until this point.
Okay.
Feeney gives the impression that he's concerned that Democrats are going to try and steal the vote with electronic voting machines in the future.
Okay.
Tom Feeney is very concerned about this. He wants to know what to look out for, so he asks if they will build a vote-rigging software prototype to give an idea of how it might be done if somebody actually did want to steal the election.
Okay, so I want to recap, and then we'll probably do our commercial break, because then I want to get into that. So basically, what you just said was that this Republican Speaker of the House, was it in Florida?
Correct.
Is working at the same time that he's Speaker of the House in Florida, at the same time he used to be a top guy on Jeb Bush's campaign, at the same time he's talked about how he wants to make sure Florida wins for Bush, right?
Right.
He is also working for some kind of a company that's basically like a software company or something, and turns to the software developers in his company sometime last year before the election?
No, actually in 2000.
Oh, okay, in 2000, and says, we're worried about Democrats trying to steal the election, so in order to make sure they don't steal the election, can you build me a device that actually will steal the election so that then we can use it to, you know, use it to make sure we reverse engineer how to stop it?
There you go.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Okay.
That's about it, yeah.
Okay. Actually, Anthony, did we want to, how do you want to do it? We'll take a break first and then, all right, we're going to take a quick break first, then I'm going to come back and get into this and I think some phone calls as well. I want to remind folks to our number toll-free. Feel free to call in. Got a question for Brad, got a question for me, whatever. We're talking about the whole sort of voter fraud issue and sort of all the dirt Brad's been digging up on bradblog.com over the last couple, over the last 5 months, really. Our toll-free number is 866-305-6887, and I am John Aravosis. You're listening to me on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on Sirius Out Q149.
Welcome to Sirius Satellite Radio Show Creator. Please state desired name of host.
Jay Thomas.
Please state desired audience.
Men, age 29 to 49.
Please state show premise.
Smart alecky radio personality, also a Hollywood actor, host of funny ensemble radio program, with quirky guests.
Processing.
A show creator, you know, it's, just you and me here.
It sure is.
What do you say we try to create a little magic?
Yes, indeed.
Jay Thomas, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Sirius Central, Sirius 148.
Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer, and today's tip of the day is going to be with one hot chili. One hot chili pepper, the habanero chili pepper. This makes a jalapeno like a mild chili pepper. When you buy the habanero chili pepper, and they look like a little crown, they look very small little peppers. They're orange and they're red, which is how you want to buy them, with a nice clean stem, free from any decaying. You want to make sure that you almost wear gloves or wash your hands right away after you're selecting these peppers and put them in the bag, because a lot of that heat will come from those peppers into your hand, and if you rub your eyes, oh, you're going to feel it. Now, habanero peppers, when you do buy them, use them very sparingly. But I like to enjoy them sparingly on different recipes because the flavor and the heat they add is out of this world. And I'm Tony Tantillo, your fresh grocer. If you want a recipe on this, log on to TonyTantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Tantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
Welcome back to the Michelangelo Signorelli Show. I am John Aravosis, sitting in for the vacationing Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius Out Q 149. Our toll-free number is 866-305-6887. We are talking to Brad Friedman with bradblog.com. Brad has been a tenacious freedom fighter taking on all the election fraud from the 2004 election. And we're just getting into a detail of a rather interesting story of the Speaker of the House in Florida, Republican, good friend of Bush, who also was working for some kind of a software company or whatever, but a tech company, and turned to them in 2000 and said, you know, we've had reports that the Democrats might try to steal the election by doing something with the electronic ballot boxes. Turns to his software people and says, can you build me a ballot box buster? Basically, I want you to build me a box that will allow me to actually steal the election, because then we can use that box to find out how to thwart Democrats from stealing the election, which obviously right there might raise a few eyebrows, and that's where we left off with Brad. Brad.
Yes, sir.
Where does that leave us?
Well, you know, I should toss in here so I don't forget that Tom Feeney, while he was the Speaker of the House of Florida and the running mate of Jeb Bush's for governor, he now is a U.S. congressman, and he sits on the U.S. House Judiciary Committee.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
He's moving up.
There you go. Great.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what he essentially asked them to build, and he was very specific about the three things that he wanted with this program. It had to be usable on touchscreen machines. It had to require no additional equipment like a keyboard. Oh, and you right. had to be able to hide if anybody were to inspect the source code for the software. You had to be able to make sure that the routines were invisible, the vote-flipping routines, that they wouldn't see it if they inspected the software.
Right.
So Curtis comes back the next day and says, well, here, and has the program, this mock-up, on a CD documentation, and gives it to the CEO, Mrs. Yang, and says, well, right. I was able to do the first two things, but if anybody inspects the source code, there's no way to hide these routines. They'll see them and they'll know what's up. She says
right.
to him, you don't understand. We have to hide the source code in order to get the contract. This program is needed to control the vote in South Florida.
Wait, so now this is Curtis, who's an employee there.
Right.
Who says that Mrs. Yang, who is co-founder of the company, CEO. CEO says that you made the vote rigging machine wrong because it's actually not something to that we can use to figure out how to stop voter fraud. It's something we want to use to throw an election.
Correct.
This is what he says. Okay.
Yes. And so now he says this, mind you, in a sworn affidavit that he's given to me. It's posted at bradblog.com.
Right.
It's been given to the members of the House Judiciary Committee.
Right.
He was actually called and gave sworn testimony, which is on video, also at bradblog.com. The video is up there of him giving sworn testimony to members of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee when they were holding hearings
okay.
on the Ohio election.
Right.
So we've got all of that, and yet most people probably haven't even heard about this story because it ain't being reported. There's more to it. In his affidavit, he
right.
Claims that there was illegal aliens working at this company spying for China. All kinds of claims.
And we know that's never happened before with this administration.
Oh, exactly. Well, you hear these things and you go, oh, well, this yeah. is crazy. It's, you know, he's just, he hates the Bushes or something. But guess what? He was making these claims in 2001.
Right.
And the very guy that he named, a guy by the name of Hai Lin Ni, they called him Henry Ni, was arrested in 2004 after a four-year sting for attempting to ship Hellfire anti-tank missile chips to China.
Right.
Three counts he was indicted on. He pleads guilty to one of them. In the plea agreement, it says it was a slow year, so we only did this 10 to 20 times. And in October of 2004, he is sentenced to, get ready, 3 years probation and a $100 fine.
And I'm sorry, and this is for what now exactly? What did this guy do?
For sending missile chips to China. Only 10 to 20
right.
times in the last year.
Right.
He is an illegal alien. He's been an illegal alien since January 1 of 2000.
Right.
Curtis named this guy years ago.
Right.
And so, you know, the reason I mentioned that and some of the other claims that he has made
right.
is because, you know, we're still trying to corroborate this actual vote rigging charge.
Right.
There were other people that he puts in the room. Those people won't talk to us at all.
Right.
And
have you gotten anything to back him up?
Well, everything that he has said, I'd say 85-90% of what he said has now been confirmed about the illegal aliens, about China, about overcharging the Florida Department of Transportation. It's all been confirmed. Haven't been able to find a single hole in his story yet. Every time Yang or Tom Feeney or one of their attorneys open their mouths, they say something that's demonstrably false. They're
right.
still claiming that this spy, Henry Ni, didn't work at their company. Still claiming that today, despite the fact that now several months ago, I posted weekly time reports on Yang Stationery signed by Henry Ni, which shows that he was working 40 to 60 hours a week at this company.
Right.
And the feds have now confirmed that he worked there. And when I reported the story, people had said to me, well, you know, Brad, if any element of Curtis's story is proven to be not true, then you have to throw away the entire story. Okay.
That's just bizarre, but yeah.
But, right. Okay, I can see right. that, perhaps, if his credibility is damaged.
Oh, if he lied, I mean, right? getting a fact wrong, well, it would depend what the fact is and what
sure.
the circumstances are, you know?
Well, mind you, this is a sworn affidavit, and he's made sworn testimony,
right.
and he's naming names, he's not
right.
hiding. You know, and so he's out there. He'll go to jail if it can be proved that he's lying on any of these.
Well, so where does, I mean, just to remind folks,
and
too,
everybody stop.
Just to remind folks, we're talking to, Mike isn't as Nazi as me, probably, with like good guests. Just to remind folks, we're talking to Brad Friedman with bradblog.com. This is John Aravosa sitting in for Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius Out Q. Brad is talking to us about all sorts of election fraud going on in the 2004 election. Before I like so rudely interrupted you, what were you saying? Because I had a question I was going to ask you, too.
I don't know. I completely forgot.
I
know what I was saying. Yeah, every time, you know, these guys open their mouth, they say something that's demonstrable. demonstrably untrue.
Oh, right.
And, you know, so do we hold the same standards against them when, you know, when they say something that's wrong, do we have to then throw out their entire story and assume they're lying as people have?
No, because they're Republicans, and remember, we don't have the same standard in the media or America for Republicans as we do for liberals.
I keep forgetting.
But where does this stand as far as is anything else? Has anybody else taken this on? I mean, you said you had like a hearing in Congress, thank God. But is any of the major media finally looking into this stuff? Is anything legal happening? I mean,
you know what? They have all looked into it. Some of them continue to look into it. There may be a story coming out in the next week or two in a fairly very mainstream organization that I can't talk about because I don't want to spook them. I hope they do come out with it. They've all contacted me. They've all looked into it.
Right.
They all continue to say, wow, this is an amazing story. None of them have been able to find a hole in Curtis's story, yet they continue to sit on the story. Why? I'm sure you have some thoughts on that and the way that they dealt with the Gannon story.
Well, why do you think? Is this liberal media? I mean, what's the...
They're terrified. There's a number of different reasons, but they're terrified of being rather gated, which I suppose understand. And
meaning they're afraid they might be wrong, or even if they're right, they're going to get screwed.
Yeah, well, they're going to come out, report this story, and then the next day it's going to be proven that Clint Curtis is a big liar.
Right.
And they're going to look terrible. So I think they're all sitting around waiting for the other guy to come out with it. You know, if New York Times reports this story, then all the other ones can come out and say, as reported in the New York Times...
And
that way, if it blows up on them, they can, it was the Times' fault. It's
actually, just, you know, I mean, Signorelli has a phrase for that, which he told me during the Gannon thing. He said, everyone's in a mad rush to be second.
Yeah.
Meaning they're dying to cover the story, but no one in the media wants to be first, because when you're second, you can then basically blame it on the New York Times or whoever reports first, and then you can also do your own angle and everything else.
You know what? And I think that is that point could not be more true in this case, because, frankly, John, if you look at this case, and you know I've been reporting it now for like 4 months.
Yeah.
With hard documentation, with court papers, with public records, with actual evidence.
Right.
You know, again, I'm not speculating. I think I have a good reputation because I stick to the evidence that we have. If you look at it, it's an explosive story that, if true, this thing, if it continues on its trajectory, is potentially Watergate 2. I mean, these are some incredible charges. So
what's, you know, I mean, what can you do?
Terrified about it.
I mean, sort of to wrap up, what can you do, or what are you guys thinking of doing next to try to take all of this research and information you've got and turn it into something that, you know, I mean, turn it into something more? I mean, what are you guys thinking?
All I can do is keep putting the information out there. More and more people now finally seem to become interested in it. They're calling me. I think it was... perhaps a report that I posted last week. Don't know how much time we have. I'll try and give it to you in like 20 seconds.
Sure. But what is it?
The original guy that Curtis had gone to at the Florida Inspector General's office with this information back in 2001, his name was Raymond Lemmy. He was the inspector there who was originally looking into the bulk of these charges.
And just to remind folks, what we're talking about is this guy who's an employee with some kind of a tech company who says that his bosses who have ties to the Bushes and all of that have said, we want you to build us a machine that can basically commit voter fraud on voting machines.
Yeah.
And we want it to actually throw an election. And he says, huh, I have a problem with that. I think I'm going to report this.
Right. And he actually, you know, resigns from the company and they love him. And
so he goes to whom and reports? What then?
Eventually, he goes to work at the Florida Department of Transportation after that, where this company, Yang, has a contract.
Right.
So he goes to the Inspector General of Florida, working out of the FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation, and gives him all of these charges in 2001. The guy is looking into them. He's building a case. He's building a report. Eventually, he comes to Curtis in mid-2003 and says, look, the report's going to come out in a few weeks. I've tracked the corruption. It goes, quote, all the way to the top. Keep your ears open. You're going to be very happy with the results of the report.
Right.
2 weeks later, Raymond Lemmy, who was working out of Tallahassee, Florida, is found dead in a Valdosta, Georgia motel room.
Right.
The police rule it a suicide.
Right.
They say that there were pictures taken of the scene. However, due to a failure in the camera's flash memory cards, there will be no photographs from this crime scene.
Right.
Guess
Surprise.
What we posted at Brad Blog last week?
What, you got photos from the crime scene?
Yeah, we got the crime scene photos that didn't exist. Yes, sir.
Right.
And
right.
Guess what? They don't match.
Right.
They don't match up with the police report. There's all kinds of problems with it.
Right.
They have, Valdosta police have confirmed
right.
that these photos are good.
Well, so, but is there any, I mean, short of waiting for a real, you know, administration to come into power in the next 3.5 years in Washington,
yeah.
what, I mean, who else can you guys, are there any big nonprofits that can, I mean, you know, sort of the big vote watching groups or something?
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
what's...
There, as a matter of fact, out of all of this, I've helped form a group called VelvetRevolution.us.
Right.
And what we're doing, while, you know, the Republicans own Congress and the Democrats are having trouble getting election reform bills, you know, put through, we're saying, you know what, let them wrangle it out. We're going straight to the voting machine companies. We've sent them a letter saying, and by the way, Velvet Revolution now comprises nearly 100 election reform organizations that
right.
are coming together
well, good, okay.
under this group.
Good.
We've sent them a letter saying, hey, guys, you got 60 days to announce that you're publicly going to voluntarily open your hardware and software for inspection. You're going to include voter-verified paper ballots with every vote cast.
Right.
You're going to institute a corporate policy that keeps your CEO from, you know, writing fundraising letters to Republicans,
right.
as the Diebold CEO did, you know, saying we're going to deliver the state of Ohio to George
right.
W. Bush. We're asking you guys to do the right thing for our country. If you do, we will laud your companies high and low. If you don't, we're going to launch a massive divestiture against your companies, your affiliates,
good.
Massive and sustained against your company, your affiliates, and your clients.
Right.
And we're going to get something done that way. We just had 23 House members have signed on, sent a letter to these companies saying, hey, guys, take the VR recommendations, or we're going to withhold HABA money from you, which is government funds that were set aside to buy new voting machines. And they feel, you know, these guys are essentially private companies running public elections. They're essentially
right.
now a branch of the government, and they
right.
need to be open and transparent.
Right, have the same kind of right, and have the same kind of oversight that we would have for anybody who could basically throw an election.
Exactly.
Well, now so, what can and just I just want to finish up. I mean, yeah. what people who are listening out there who have been and probably are now even more pissed off about the election results and all the fraud and everything. What can they do as far as helping you out with your work or with this new VelvetRevolution.us? I mean, where should they go and what can they do?
Let me tell you what we really need. We need you guys to come by VelvetRevolution.us. And click, there's a link there that says send email to the companies. And it'll take you less than a minute, and, you know, and it'll send out a letter to all nine of the companies. We need to bury these guys in email basically saying, hey, we're Americans, we stand with the Velvet Revolution here, and we want you guys to take action on what they're asking, or we're going to participate in this divestiture. These emails, as you probably know, really do have an effect because it drives them crazy.
Right.
They need to hear the voices of Americans saying, you know, enough is enough. So we really need all your listeners to do that.
It'll right.
60 seconds. While you're there, Velvet Revolution is completely funded. It's a citizens brigade. We
right.
are funded by the people. We don't have any big funders. We don't have government funding. Make a donation. This is an expensive campaign. We need all hands on deck for this thing. If everyone comes together, I promise you, we will make noise. We've got some big names coming on board in hopefully the next week or two. I can't give them to you yet.
Right, right.
A lot of people are coming on board, so please rally around this one cause. Or it doesn't matter what issues you're talking about. If they own the machines, if they can control the vote, you guys can talk to your blue in the face. It's not going to make a damn bit of difference.
Right. Well, good. Well, thank you, Brad. And I will sort of just second that because, like I said, I've been working with Brad, well, not as much lately because I've been so damn busy, but certainly election.
You're too big for me now, John.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, once you get into gay hookerdom, it's a whole other world.
That's where I went wrong.
We moved from throwing presidential elections to actually uncovering hookers in the White House. It's just, you know.
Yeah, man, you know what? At bradblog.com just reported yesterday on another Italian news-like organization.
Ooh, which, for people who don't know, is the Gannon Guckert news service, quote-unquote, he was working for.
Yep, this group named the American Center for Voting Rights appeared on the web last Thursday. Yesterday, the leader of the organization testified in front of the U.S. House Administrative Committee on the problems in the Ohio election in 2004. Turns out, that fella for this, it's a nonpartisan organization, by the way, 501c3, they're tax
right.
exempt. Turns out he's the general counsel for Bush Cheney 04 Inc.
Uh-oh.
And the communications director, Jim Dyke, for this company,
right.
his name is Jim Dyke.
Right.
Jim Dyke, just thought I'd mention that.
Yes.
Says
yeah.
that apparently he was the RNC, the Republican National Committee's communications director. It's a Republican
right.
front.
Right.
Just like
right.
Allen News. You know, they set right. up, and 3 days later, they've got access to the White House. These guys set up, and 3 days later, they're giving testimony on the Ohio election in front of a U.S. House committee. Hello?
Okay. No, outrageous. Well, all right, I'm going to wrap up. Folks, can people also donate on your site, bradblog.com?
Bradblog.com, yes. I take donations, and I could use them. You know what it's
like. Then go to bradblog.com and or velvetrevolution.us. Brad is running both of them, and I can attest that Brad has really been doing some kick-ass work. I mean, Brad is your typical blogger that does something else for a living but gets doing this kind of stuff full-time, and he really has been digging up just amazing stuff over the last 5 months. Very credible, very good work, exactly the kind of stuff you guys want to see bloggers doing. And as I've told you many a time out there, you know, people give up their real work to do this kind of stuff with the blogging, and it's not just simply writing, you know, you type a message occasionally. I mean, from what you've heard from Brad, I mean, it's hard to follow this stuff because there's just so much crap these guys have uncovered over the last 5 months, and anything you can do to help them would be great. Go to bradblog.com and velvetrevolution.us. Brad, thank you so much, and you know, we'll have you back to fill us in on, if assuming they don't come and get you. Thanks, Brad. All right, everybody, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and have our final rant before the next hour. This is John Aravosis on Sirius Out Q 149.
Sirius Out Q 149. 149.